The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Janet Entine.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Very good, thank you. And we just said just before we started, last time I saw you, I didn't have a grandchild. My
right.
Fourth one, rather. So now I have four. And before we get to our first guest, I always like to bring people up to date on what's going on at Project Independence. Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. And the most important thing to remember is 311. If you need anything and you don't know where to go for it, call 311 because we have partnerships all over the town of North Hempstead and a little bit into Queens, say in Nassau, general Nassau County. There are, at this point, probably over 13,000 members in Project Independence. And yet there are 50,000 plus 60-year-olds in North Hempstead. So, and sometimes you'll see somebody else say, I never heard of Project Independence. And it amazes me because, you know, it's there, except people don't listen until you need something. And then all of a sudden, then you go looking for it.
Right.
But prior to it, I could talk about Project Independence and you're not ready and you don't pay attention. But we have transportation for shopping, transportation for medical visits, mm-hmm. all at reduced rates or free. And the amount of programs all week long for mental exercise, physical exercise, therapy groups, you know, name it, yoga. You call 311, and we talk about it at the 11:30 part of this show. There's just so much. And now, we're very fortunate. Actually, I'm honored. Honestly, when I read about Toby Abramson, Toby is an assistant professor at NYIT. But she's also serves on the board of Elder Shares the Arts and is... Actually, you know what? You got to tell me. Because we were just talking before the program. I read her bio, and it's just amazing because, you know, Toby started off in one career, so to speak, and evolved into this. And mm-hmm. what she does for seniors, and we're going to talk about creative aging, but there's mental programs. And just recently, she got a huge position in New York City, which makes more sense to you explain, because I wouldn't do it justice.
Sure. Thank you. Well, thank you all for having me here. So it's a pleasure to be able to speak to the community. My current position is the Director of Geriatric Mental Health for the New York City Department for the Aging. It's part of the Mayor and the First Lady's initiative called Thrive NYC to improve the mental health of New Yorkers. There are 54 initiatives that range across the lifespan from the Department of Education and Justice and Homelessness Services through the Aging Services. And what we do is we infuse mental health services into senior centers. So we have on-site mental health providers to help destigmatize mental health and provide clinical services as needed. So that's on that end. My role has been to be a member of the board and past president of the National Center for Creative Aging, which is located in Washington, D.C., and Elder Share the Arts, which is an intergenerational arts-based program in Brooklyn.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to focus on today, and actually just in a little conversation with Toby, I know it's hard to schedule, Toby, but you have to come back because there's so many different things to talk about. And one of the things we were talking about just before we started is how society really hasn't prepared for the aging population, even though you knew it was coming. We've gone from a pyramid in an age to a rectangle now. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's probably going to be inverted eventually, but that's besides the point. That's, I don't think, in our lifetime, but it's coming. Creative aging is the topic we're going to talk about today, and it's so important. And you even had said a little bit before about encore
careers.
So we don't have to go there yet, but go into creative aging for seniors, because all too often, I have clients that retire, and some of them go out into the world and forge forward dramatically, so to speak, and others buy a 55-inch screen TV. And it's like, mm-hmm. you can't mm-hmm. do that. I mean, you maybe want to catch up on a few shows
exactly.
you missed,
exactly.
but that's not a life.
Right.
So there's...
No, I was just going to say, it's also a difference in mindset. I mean, people didn't think 10 years ago about this, and now we're at the point where maybe because there are more people who are aging, the mindset has to be quite different. Otherwise, people are... just going to decay.
Absolutely. You know, the image we always talk about or we use in the professional field is the old rocking chair on the porch, but now it has cobwebs.
Yeah.
Because we are seeing so many seniors who are so much more active. And there are some who will choose to sit on the couch, but they've always chosen to sit on the couch. Our goal is to find out, how do we get people to be as engaged and have a purposeful life with meaning? And creativity and engagement in the arts allows people to do that. It's interesting, if you ask people, if we ask the audience, how many of you are creative? I would say half, maybe three quarters would say, I'm not creative.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is, we can all be creative.
Exactly.
It's a matter of what we do. Creativity is about doing something new and novel, right? And being able to have a purpose and a sense of meaning. And whether you're a late life person who engages in the arts or you've been doing it your whole life, creativity allows people to feel productive, have a sense of meaning. It connects people. There's socialization. There's a sense of membership. It's an empowerment. So if you're faced with many, many chronic illnesses and you have a lot of negative things, if you get engaged with some art form, and I want to kind of broaden that because we think art, what do you think of when we think art?
I think painting.
Yes,
painting.
Right.
Well, there's so much more. There's choir and chorus and photography and gardening and drama and theater and sewing. And I mean, you know, I was trying to think of the list, but
wow, that's interesting. I wouldn't have put choir. I wouldn't have put sewing.
Right.
I wouldn't put
storytelling, writing,
yes.
writing poetry, your narratives, your life history, your personal experiences. So it's not just painting.
Okay.
Music, creating music, listening to music. So the art, being creatively engaged, doesn't mean you always have to perform it, but you can be a participant in it. And so it's such a broad, broad field. Dance, can't forget about dance and movement. And the benefits are just staggering. The research, and I will say that there's not a lot of research
right.
yet. There is some, and it's a growing body. We keep pushing people to do more. But all of the evidence that has been done, starting with Dr. Gene Cohen, and he did a seminal research way back many years ago at this point, but he looked at choral singers and what happened when you participated in a 6 to 8 week choral program. Guess what? Less doctor visits, decrease in medication, decrease in depression, improved morale, improved self-esteem. That's just from a 6 to 8 week program. Could you imagine if we could all be creatively
exactly.
engaged?
Wow. Well, isn't it also that you're bringing people together, and that also helps?
Well, we do know that that's a piece of it. But there's something about singing that was magical because they've compared it to other types of creative engagement. So, for instance, how many of you tango dance? When was the last time you tango danced? Well, maybe
last night. Actually, I said, what am I going to do? I said, I got to practice for tomorrow. Let me do a little tango.
I'm so happy. Because what we know with tango dancing, it improves your walk speed. It improves your balance.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
So you decrease the chance of falling.
Yes, that's an important thing, and it's a fun way to.
Absolutely. So we know about, I wrote down some of these to remember, but tango dancing, sense of well-being, the research shows, increasing your strength and balance.
Balance,
which is so important.
Thing.
We know that from Tai Chi, but we don't think about it from dancing.
Right.
That's amazing. It really, North Hempstead, they just started this September, maybe last week, a theater group for 12 weeks.
Yes.
And I don't know what they're going to do at the end of the 12 weeks. I don't know if they're going to have a show, to be honest with you. And I even said, like, okay, why are you doing that? It didn't hit me as an author. And yet, I know people have signed up for it. There will be some, obviously, socialization, because if I never met you before, like Toby, I'd say we both joined to be in the play, whatever my part.
So the research by two researchers, Noyce and Noyce, those are their names, husband and wife team, have found when they studied the theater group, just like you're talking about, they had improved word recall, they had better problem-solving skills, much better than people who participated in the visual arts. We see what's happening in the brain is we see more connections to the brain,
okay.
and so we see improved memory. Think about it. If you're in theater, you have to memorize your lines. Even right. if you read them, you have to know what comes next,
right,
and
right.
you have to be able to sequence
yeah.
it. So without even realizing it, you're engaging and engaging your brain and making it active. And the more active it is, the more connections in the brain, the better able it is to fight some of those age-related memory changes that happen, or even changes with beginning Alzheimer's. It doesn't stop the disease, but it improves for a little bit your ability to use word recall and problem-solving skills. So theater is another amazing way to stay engaged, be mm-hmm. social, mm-hmm. belong to something, mm-hmm. because we know that improves mental health.
Right.
When you're engaged, it empowers you. You feel productive, whether you perform for an audience or you just perform for yourself. So those are really very powerful.
It's the belonging part.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm very big into the belonging because mm-hmm. I've come across clients and friends, and you know, a spouse dies. You got to. I don't mean you have to move on from your grief or anything else, but you have to have a conversation with somebody at some point. You can't live in a bubble, and everybody has pain. But go share it. You go to one of these groups, whether it's the theater. Some of these things, like a sewing group. We have the knitting club at the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at that as an art form. I'm just saying, you know, give them something to do. But technically it is, because you make some of those things. They're beautiful.
Not only that, it's counting stitches. It's following a pattern. Think about mm-hmm. all of the different mm-hmm. things that it's using cognitively, mentally.
So I'm not thinking.
To
I'm just,
keep you
right.
sharp.
Right.
Watching. Right. But again, even if you've done the same pattern and it's kind of a very rote action, you still
right.
have to count. You still have to sequence. All of those things are really important for brain function, for
and
brain
we have
health.
A coloring group in North Hempstead that's gaining popularity. There's one in Roslyn, and I think there's another one going to go in Westbury.
Oh, is there? Okay. I mean, I know there was one that started up,
mm-hmm.
but it's interesting.
People love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm not even talking. Sometimes it takes somebody like Toby to explain.
Yes.
That this is art.
That's right.
But it's creative. See, that's the we have to keep putting the word creative in front of it, because you
right.
have to be creative to move forward.
And I like the way of thinking about it is it's creative engagement.
Okay.
And not just creativity, because creativity has gotten such a bad rap, but it's creative engagement. It's really the creative part allows you to be engaged.
Right.
And that's really it has different points. At different points in your life, it means different things. So when you first retire, it may be something that it gives you a focus to do. But what we find is that people 70 plus are doing autobiographies, have this need to tell their story as a way of kind of summing up all of the things they've done mm-hmm. in their life, the good and the bad, the choices they've made, how
right.
they got to this point. Very, very important for mental health and well-being. And then when you get into your 80s, it's about leaving your lasting moments. There are a lot of people who don't begin engaging in art forms until they're in their 90s. And there are some centenarians who have sold paintings in their late 90s or 100. They have this painting career that
That's
they
amazing.
Never had before. Or, you know, so there's lots of ways to be engaged in the arts.
Before we go on, we have to take a break. And when we come back, I do want to know how we get people engaged. Right now, you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.